Today, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, calls us to a new life. A new life that brings down the proud and raises up the lowly. Interestingly, we see ourselves coming from various walks of life, different levels of learning, different life experiences, different cultural and ethnic backgrounds. And yet, we are all here in worship. At the breaking of the bread, within this liturgy, we shall hear the words, "We break this bread to share in the body of Christ." And all will respond, "Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread." Do we really understand what we are saying in those words and the implications and significance they have? So though many and different may be our needs, we come to God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, as equals, and we are sent out to share God's love equally. One of the characteristics of the gospel, according to St. Luke, is the evangelist's emphasis on equality. Luke has broadly been recognized as the gospel writer who notices most the needs of women. The Song of Mary, or the Magnificat, is recorded only in Luke's gospel. Luke often balances a scene involving a man with an equivalent episode or situation concerning a woman. Our gospel passage for today is an example of that. This healing of the bent-over woman shows clear parallels with the story in the following chapter, where a man with dropsy is healed. Both events, they occur on the Sabbath. Both involve a clash with religious leaders. And in both instances, Jesus compares care for an animal with the treatment of a person. In this instance, Jesus argues that if it is permissible to untie or unbound a domestic livestock from their manger to take them out to water on the Sabbath, it should certainly be permissible for this woman to be released or unbound from her physical affliction on the Sabbath. According to St. Luke, the cause of the woman's condition that has afflicted her for 18 long years is undefined, but it must be serious enough to have diminished her status in society. But still, she has retained her faith in God, enough faith, in spite of her ailment, to come to the synagogue, to prayer, and to worship. Luke does not state explicitly that she has come for healing, just to be there. She does not approach Jesus, and she makes no request of Jesus. Yet Jesus, in his infinite wisdom, notices her pain and suffering and reaches out to her and heals her of her chronic condition. Here, the woman's response is in sharp contrast to that of the indignant attitude of the synagogue leaders. After being healed, she rejoices and gives God thanks. On the other hand, the attitude of the synagogue leaders is quite different. They take exception to the actions of Jesus. For them, there are 6 days in the week for work, or in this case, healing, but it is not to be performed on the Sabbath. So instead of joining in praise for God's healing mercies, an act of God's redemptive grace, Jesus is criticized for breaking the law. Jesus' response, it is swift and it is forceful. He moves from using the general term of woman to calling this unnamed woman a daughter of Abraham. And that in itself is significant. Thus, this daughter of Abraham can fully partake of her religious heritage in the community, restoring her dignity and her rightful place in society. She can now stand up. Yes, stand up straight and look to the hills. Look to the hills from whence cometh her help. Of great importance is in this situation is the lesson being taught when Jesus heals the bent over woman. Here, Jesus demonstrates to his audience that compassion and love and mercy overrides legalistic rules. Even the Sabbath itself can become something else other than what it was truly intended to be, a weekly opportunity to rest from labor for the sake of giving God the glory. But if our rigid ideas of the only ways in which God can receive God's praise truly become stumbling blocks to us and others, then we need to look closely at how Jesus acted freely and creatively without undermining his honor of God, but always serving and looking out for others. Jesus made it quite clear that if another human life was in danger, the rules governing not working on the Sabbath could be set aside for reason to save life. But at the same time, Jesus himself did not regularly heal on the Sabbath. We learned in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 32, which tells us how people waited until after sunset to approach him for healing on the morning after a Sabbath. They were patient people who suffered long-term illnesses throughout many Sabbaths. But in this gospel reading for today, Jesus saw a situation that could transform a person's life, and it could not wait. Why should this woman suffer any longer? It had been already 18 years. Clearly, there was a call for a creative expression of the compassionate spirit of God's healing presence, despite the challenges of Sabbath practice. So this morning, I want to tell us all herein that whatever the situation we may have this morning, Jesus is able to deliver. Jesus, he is the great deliverer. There is no secret what he can do. What he has done for others, he can surely do for us. Now, yesterday, as you are aware, was the sixth day of the week, the Sabbath. It was also the feast of St. Bartholomew, the apostle, the namesake of this wonderful and beautiful island, and the patron saint of this wonderful church, a place of Christian worship and ministry since 1855. Listening to this gospel and living into the present realities of the times, are you still willing and ready to continue the mission and ministry here, just as Bartholomew was faithful in his service to God Almighty? The stanza for St. Bartholomew from the hymn, "By All Your Saints Still Striving," it says, "Praise your blessed apostle, surnamed Bartholomew. We know not his achievements, but we know that he was true, for he at the ascension was an apostle still. May we discern your presence and seek like him your will." This comes from the hymnal 1982, hymn number 232. These words, you see, they depict how blessed Bartholomew lived into the reality of the coming of the kingdom of God. And no doubt, he must have preached and taught the principles of kingdom living. Are you willing and ready to walk in his footsteps in lifting up the kingdom of heaven? I do earnestly pray and hope that God will give you and all of us the grace and wherewithal to so shape lives and ministry in the kingdom's way, so that collectively we may love what Bartholomew believed and preach what he taught, the kingdom way of living. Beloved in Christ, a kingdom-shaped community is not necessarily one which adheres unwaveringly to the letter of the law. And Jesus, time and time again, demonstrates and confirms this perfectly for us. Yet, it also entertains the spirit of the law. And I am sure my dear lawyer friend would agree, and so many of you. In life, we can't just go with the letter of the law. So often, as a priest, I find myself when I want to adhere, it must be this way. But then when I stand back and look, you must embrace both the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And that's what Jesus is driving home for us. So as individuals, my beloved in Christ and church, we are called this day and always to think compassionately and lovingly about how we confront injustice and how we bring about healing and reconciliation and restoration to all and sundry within and beyond our shores. Amen.